The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2023, Charting the Course, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join. or by making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, please visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Hello and welcome. This is a talk about the FSF Licensing and Compliance Lab, specifically about how it is to be a volunteer at the lab, the lab's activity and what it is and what it does. Waiting for the slide to switch. My name is Yoni Rapkin. I'll just be emceeing and guiding this, make sure that this moves along. We also have we have another volunteer who can make it here live, and also Craig Topham from the FSF. So I'd like them just to wave and introduce themselves. Panos, can you say hello?
Hello, I'm Panos. I'm from Greece, and I'm a lawyer and just a volunteer for the lab.
Wonderful. Thank you. Craig, could you say hello and introduce yourself, and then just without ado, introduce the lab, and I'll switch to the next slide.
Certainly. Thanks, Johnny. My name is Craig Topham. I'm a copyright and licensing associate for the Free Software Foundation, and I work on a team, and we keep ourselves pretty busy. I have a little list here of the things. The team also does the Respect Your Freedom program, where we evaluate hardware and make sure that it runs on fully, the system is able to function under only free software. We also maintain a website called hnode.org. It's got to be .org, which is a list of hardware that's known to run on free software. It's not as thorough as the RYF program, but it is a chance for people to find, to see, to explore and look for hardware that they might make use of. And finally, the team doesn't do this, but I do this. I handle the copyright assignment for the GNU project. And I think that's everything. So Yanni? Oh, Yanni's not with us. Okay, Yanni?
Yoni is trying to reconnect, I think.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Can people hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Yoni, and I'm ready to turn it back over to you.
I think for some reason Yoni can't hear us.
Panos, you wanna walk through the slides?
Yeah, I could. Unfortunately, I'm not. I don't have control of the slides.
I might be able to, but I think we're at a point now where we were going to turn it over to the volunteers to describe their experience and what they.
Sure.
Okay, your presenter, Panos.
Okay. So this was actually Yoni's part, but I guess they can replace him until he comes. So this is basically a list of the lab activities, what we are doing at the lab. Our primary activity, I would say, would be answering questions from the public. We have a meeting every week where we discuss all the issues that have come to our mailbox. Just to describe how what the process is like, every one of us has several tickets. So we are all trying during the week in our free time to respond to questions from the public. But the more experienced members from the lab will probably have the final say on what's being sent out and in general try to fix any details. So I think you will mostly hear most responses from us at the start of the week around Tuesday, Wednesday, that's around the time where we send most of our answers to the public. Then another very important activity is maintaining the frequently answered questions for the GPL and other licensing resources. You will notice, oh, I think Yoni is back. I'm not sure if he can hear us, but I'm just going to continue until he speaks. So you will notice on the FSF page.
Oh, Panos, I'm sorry to mean to stop you there, but I think this slide was for me.
I think okay.
I might have like skipped something. Yeah, because this is.
Okay.
yeah, I think this is the part where I was talking about what the lab does and everything. But I did like your expanded. Yes, so the meetings that we have on Tuesday is when we get together and compare notes and move forward on more trickier questions. Can we go to the.
Yoni, would you like to continue from here?
Okay. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Yoni, I finished describing what the lab does. And all the various activities.
Okay, great. So we can move on to the next slide.
Make a presenter. Sorry, Yoni, we got to make you a presenter.
So, Panos, excellent. Right. So the next. We want to say what the compliance lab does and what do we do there. It's very important for us all now at this point of the talk that you start thinking about what do you think we should do more? What can we do for you? What are the licensing questions that you have? What are the licensing services that you need in order to develop free software? We absolutely want to hear and we know. So this is licensing at fsf.org, and we're putting this right here so that people, as the talk continues, you can start ruminating over that and thinking about, hey, this service would be missing, or this would be great, or this a resource, an FAQ, licensing compatibility matrix. We do want that input. However, the one thing that's very important, and all the licensing members here can give knowing nods, is that when you get into licensing at fsf.org, you need to be patient because we get a lot of email and we want to provide excellent answers for every one of those. And it takes time. It just takes time to do that. So some, if we don't answer within a week or even within 2 weeks, it might be that we're really backlogged, or that the question was actually an excellent question and we're going up the chain at the FSF and asking people. So please, move on. Now, at this point, there is a member, Paulius Galubikas, who couldn't be with us here live, but did pre-record their message. Paulus is another one of our volunteers. So tech team, if you could just play the video now, that would be excellent.
From Lithuania, I feel privileged to be part of licensing team. I started helping several years ago and it was never boring. We are meeting once a week to discuss and answer licensing questions related to GPL. GPL licenses show that they are still very relevant today, and the credit must be given to their fathers. Actually, the achievement we should celebrate. But in the future, we need to deal with the GPL weaknesses too. Everything has its own weaknesses. But we never encourage to exploit them. We never encourage popular workarounds. Never support gaming the system. The state of mind which is so popular by people used to take but not to share. We don't really want to, but there are weaknesses right, and we must talk about them. One of them I want to address is the lack of cheap and fast enforcement. Most authors and contributors are not rich people. Legal disputes need lots of financial resources and time. We always encouraged in past GPL compliance without the courts. In most cases, successfully.
But if we want, okay, my understanding is that we can't play the pre-recorded video, so I'm going to move on. I'm going to introduce the lab member. Copyright holders.
I think that such enforcement is impossible without official institutions. As I propose to create international body, dispute resolution arbitration located in a neutral country. This kind of arbitration, nothing new. There are international sport arbitration and other arbitrations for specific issues. Why we cannot have a similar international arbitration for disputes related to use and licensing of free and open source software? Such arbitration should be composed of lawyers and IT professionals having spirit of free software. And such arbitration should be free for authors and copyright holders of free software. Awards should be binding in national legal systems. I invite the community to think about it. This is a long way, but we need to start going it if we want long years for free software movement. Once again, greetings to all of you and thank you. From Lithuania.
Okay, we finished with Paulius' video. Yanni, back to you.
Okay, excellent. So thank you for Paulus for that. Craig Topham is our fearless leader. We as volunteers do a lot of we do a lot of work, but ultimately it's he's the person that we go to right, you know, to check off things, to make sure that we're doing things properly. And our all the volunteers main aligned to the FSF, which is there are many questions that volunteers cannot and should not answer independently. And Craig is wonderful for that and for many other things. Inayev, Craig, do you want to say a few words about Inayev?
What's that? I didn't catch that.
Do you want to say a few words about Inayev?
Actually, I didn't have anything prepared. I just know that they're okay. Consistent and do good work, and I appreciate it.
You can pay also worked with us for quite a while and did a lot of learning and going up the learning curve of studying how to answer questions. And I think they're on the break now, and I hope they will return, because long-term commitment really helps when learning how to answer licensing questions. And Panos, who's here with us, and Panos, can you say a little more about your background?
Sure. I think I'm like the last member, the last person to join the lab so far. I joined in 2021. And actually, the way I joined was because I was an intern for the FSF, a licensing and campaigns intern. And in the summer of 2021, I participated in several meetings of the lab. And quite honestly, I had no knowledge of free software licensing back then. But slowly but surely, I tried to learn more and more, especially trying to identify what the core resources are for free software licensing. And I think after a few months, I was able to pick up pace and actually respond to questions myself. And Yoni was actually a great teacher, and of course, Craig. But I was quite surprised that Yoni had actually prepared some questions, some tickets for me, some very old tickets that had already been answered, but he used them as training questions for me to work on, so I'm grateful for that. So yeah, in general, I'm a lawyer, but I would say that pretty much anyone can actually help with answering questions about free software licensing, because it's mostly about being educated about how free software licenses work. And I can tell you right now that quite a few lawyers don't know how they work, and some volunteers can actually know how they work a lot better compared to the lawyers.
Thank you so much. That's also a great view into the intake process, when I know that everyone here will be clamoring to be licensing volunteers after this. So this just gives you an idea of how it's going to go. So I'm Yoni Rapkin. I actually started volunteering with Brett Smith back in 2006. So I've been doing this for a while, so I'm not a lawyer, but I have a paralegal degree, and it's wonderful to be able to take the passion for free software and the passion for legal work and be able to work with it together. Now, Panos, if you don't mind, I'm going to shine the spotlight back on you. How did you get your start in software freedom.
Okay. So when I was an intern, I was asked to actually post a blog article about how I actually got to free software, and there are a few details there, but I can actually say that the summary is that pretty much I liked computers from a very young age, and I think for the first time I started thinking about computers when I was a kid, and I think I used Windows XP or something, and like the first thing that the first time I started questioning about things regarding computing is, if anyone remembers the little logo that said start at the bottom left corner of the screen for Windows XP, well, I wanted to change the text of that. So I wanted it to spell Panos, not start. And I was like, why isn't an easy way to do that? And then I slowly realized that, okay, I'm using a very restrictive system in terms of what I can do. Obviously, changing something like that is not that important, but it was the first step for me to actually understand that quite a few things are basically locked when you use a proprietary system. So slowly, I started looking for ways to unlock my system. And I think the changing point was when I became interested in chess, and I decided to use lichess.org, if anyone is familiar with chess. And it's a free software project, and in some of the pages, it actually describes why it's different compared to any other proprietary platform. And that was definitely my first step to understand free software.
So what made you decide to become involved with the Compliance Lab?
So that was very easy, actually. I decided to apply for an internship to the FSF. I was accepted. I had no idea about the lab, to be honest. I was just asked to assist the lab as part of my internship. And then I actually slowly fell in love with it, because I realized that the lab is doing a very important job. It has helped thousands of people asking for free software licensing, and it has actually unblocked people from very big obstacles when it comes to licensing.
So what is it? So am I correct in understanding that answering questions is your big passion in terms of the activities? Or are there other activities in the lab that you are also interested in?
I would say that I would prefer, instead of answering questions, I think it's always good if you actually have a very good resource that explains the problem very well, and you don't need to answer questions. So whenever we receive questions from the public saying that, they are asking for a very basic thing about free software licensing, I think we always think to ourselves, okay, this person should have searched and understood how free software licenses work, because we have so many resources. But at the same time, maybe we should provide better resources. So for me, my number one passion would be how to make the public understand free software licensing. And I would say that this is, in general, there is this concept of legal awareness. And this means that not only lawyers should know how to use the law, but also every citizen in a democratic society. So for me, providing good resources is also about educating people on how to control their lives democratically and become active citizens. And free software is a part of that. And I would also add here the directory, which is more practical and not about education per se. The directory is basically a catalog of free software programs. And I think it would be great to assist people with free software licensing and have a free software program for every aspect of our lives. At least I think that's a great goal for the directory.
And personally, do you find that you've learned things from volunteering at the GPL compliance lab? Or the compliance lab?
I would say I have learned a lot. You definitely understand that you should be very careful about how you do things in free software licensing. You can't actually be vague about how you apply free software license. As long as you are clear, it's best for everyone. So everyone understands their rights and obligations when they use a program. And most of all, I would say that volunteering helps form a community, and to be able to help people in my free time and understand the way they think about free software is just a great experience for me. I strongly encourage everyone to help us at the lab.
Now, you're talking about legal awareness. Do you have a larger vision? Do you have some, what are you looking forward to in being able to do with a compliance lab?
I think the compliance lab would be, I think a great vision would be to have more people join and sort of build around that. Delegate some work and see just how big the lab can grow, because right now we are a few people who are quite active, but if we have say double the people that we are now, then I think we can do great things, and I think we can actually affect the society in terms of applying licenses correctly in a great way.
Thank you very much. Craig, how did you get started with the free software, and specifically, how did you get to the compliance lab?
Am I on? Yes. So how did I go with the first question? How did I come across free software?
Yeah, how did you get started and end up being at the helm, the fearless leader of the compliance lab?
Oh, sure. So I had always had a computer in my life since I was a child, going back to the 80s, but I didn't know about free software until I would say maybe 2000, where I was starting to get catching on to it a little bit, but I didn't know about the free software movement until probably 2005. And what I enjoyed about it is I found myself being wanting to be active politically, and I saw that the Free Software Foundation, not the Free Software Foundation, but the movement supplied was a vehicle to express myself, to make the world a little bit better place. And so I glommed onto it almost immediately. And the other thing I enjoyed about it is, if you want to get involved, all you have to do is start using free software. And that's what I did. And the next phase is start talking about free software. And it just pretty much went from there. I think after a year of learning about it, that I was able to get off of Windows and use exclusively a GNU Linux distribution, not necessarily able to fully embrace a entirely free system. And then from there, I started volunteering for the Free Software Foundation, initially with conferences. I was in the Pacific Northwest, and OSCON was a pretty big conference. And from there, I started connecting with people and getting more involved with the community the way I could. I'm not a programmer, but you don't have to be. You just need this, like I said a moment ago, you just need to start talking about free software. And eventually, the copyright and licensing associate position opened up, and I did have some experience understanding licenses that by that point, getting involved the way I could for myself. And I applied for the job, and 6 months later, I was offered it, and that's where the story begins.
So you have to wear many hats. Of course, there's this list, ROIF, FAQs, guides of a directory. Is there a particular thing that you are really passionate about and you would really like to put a lot of energy in?
Yeah, there is a lot that the lab does, and I do feel sometimes that it might be too much. But if I had my druthers, the RYF program, I really like to would see that becoming a lot more robust. My goal is to shoot for like one device a month. I'm not going to blame COVID because I take it on my own responsibility, but things have been a little rough over the last couple of years. But I would like to see that turn around with the RYF program. And then the next step would be the compliance, getting that. Yeah.
And in terms of specifically focusing on answering questions, because here it's part of what the volunteers do, have you learned something from the answering the deluge of questions from that entire process?
Almost on every question that I ask, because what it really, when a question comes in and it's not easily identifiable what the answer is, because that is a lot of questions that we do take, is that people just haven't looked at the FAQ and see the question has already been answered. But it really forces me to examine the GPL and specific things of how it gets applied, like to really think about it. And you're reading it sentence by sentence and almost examining each word and what it means and how it's supposed to work. And I just find that very interesting. And almost every time I do, there's just something I walk away with a little bit higher up the ladder.
Yeah, that's. I think that all the volunteers and everyone who works can feels the same. And last but not least, your vision going forward for the compliance lab.
Just growth. I'd like to see efficiency and growth. I've been working by myself for I think almost 2 years now. And we're really close to hiring on a new compliance and licensing manager. So that will be nice to have having another person on the team doing the work internally with the FSF. And I'm just optimistic for growth and expansion and just getting more people involved.
Wonderful. If we have more time, I'll just go through these questions for myself as well. I started getting into free software when I grew up in the Middle East. So after I left the army, essentially I needed to write a website. So I got a book called Phil and Alex's Guide to Web Publishing, and that mentioned something called Emacs. So I loaded up Emacs for the first time. This is about 2000-ish, and the opening page of Emacs showed me a GNU and had a link. So I looked at what is this GNU, and I found the Free Software Foundation, and the ideals there were ideals that I identify with quite closely. This is how the technology world should work, in my opinion. Then becoming involved with a lab around 2006, once again, because the Middle East, there was a conflict, and I was essentially hunkering down with my family during, a Middle Eastern conflict. And I had more time on my hands than I knew what to do with. And so I volunteered because I had recently finished paralegal studies. I decided to help with the backlog of questions in the compliance lab, which at that time ran back 2 to 3 years of a backlog. There were thousands of questions. And cleaning that up really provided a good learning curve. I'm definitely, in terms of field of activity, most passionate about answering people's questions. It's amazing to me how complicated it is, because you don't get to decide what question comes across from people. They will ask anything and everything, and you need to be able to serve those people.
I'm sorry, Yanni, but it seems like we're running short on time here. We'll have to wrap it up. Thank you, and go ahead and, oh, thank you.